Isn't that good? Isn't that good? If it wasn't true, if it was not true, we'd understand just how good it might be. Jesus saves. Wow. His hand is not heavy that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it can't hear. Good stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Malcolm Johnson if he will make his way to the pulpit, if he will, and be ready to open our service with a word of prayer. It's raining on a Sunday morning. That's rare. That afternoon rain, we get it all the time. But this morning rain, it's a little out of the ordinary. I think it's nice, though. It's refreshing. Deuteronomy 6. This is Grandparents' Day. And so there's some things in here that I think will remind our hearts of the blessedness of this good day. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Speak of them, teach them, teach your sons, teach your sons' sons. Brother Malcolm Johnson, if you will, come and open our day with a word of prayer. Thank you, sir.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for who you are. For Lord, as the pastor said, without you, we have nothing, and you are strong to save us to the uttermost. Thank you for staying on the cross, that we may have that opportunity to trust you as Savior. Oh Lord, give us today a day of understanding that if there's anyone in here that may be close to hell, that you would show him or her the way to go to heaven through the preaching. Lord, be with us today and bless us. And Lord, as I think about all of our people all over the world, our armed forces, you've stretched the big arm of America to help this world in a physical being. Help us to help this world in a spiritual being, Lord, that we may be a leader and be truthful with what you give us today and in the future. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Let's take our hymn books and turn to page 772. 772. Let's stand together, please. When we all get to heaven, 772.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all
Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Sing it now.
Onward to the prize before us.
Seated. You're singing so well. What a blessing to lift up a promise like that. And I trust that your ticket to heaven is already punched. Volusia County Baptist Church doesn't punch that ticket, folks. Nothing that we can do to help get you to heaven. Jesus Christ has to do that. And I trust that you're saved, redeemed, and heaven bound. And if not, then don't leave here without knowing that. Wonderful, wonderful song. Well, today is Grandparents Day, and we have a special gift for our grandparents. We'd like to put this in your hand at the end of the service. Don Sisk has written a book called The Fourth Quarter. This is a blessing. Let me just ask you a question. Those of you who follow sports, whether it might be, basketball, or football, or soccer, or whatever kind of sport it is that you follow. What happens in the first quarter? What happens in the first part of the game? Well, everything's important. But what happens at the fourth quarter is most important. Could you imagine with me that a team plays very, very well and they've got a formidable opponent? And they're playing their very best and doing well and all of that. And they get to the fourth quarter and the coach takes out all their starters and takes out all their best players. And the fourth quarter, even though it's just nip and tuck, takes out all the best players and puts in all the rookies and puts in all the folks that really struggle and have a difficult time and aren't as experienced and all of that kind of thing. The fourth quarter and the last few minutes of the game. But yet, that's often what happens in God's army. It seems like in the fourth quarter, a lot of folks say, well, I've done my bit, and I've done this in Sunday school, and I've helped in junior church, and I helped drive a bus, and I helped clean, and I helped mow, and I helped do it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to step back and let somebody else do it now. Hear me, please. That's when we need our most experienced, and it's when we need our best workers. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ depends the most upon those in the fourth quarter. And Don Sisk served as a missionary to Japan for many, many years. God blessed his work and used him mightily. And the church that God used him to establish there in Okinawa has continued on and been a bright beacon there in Japan. And sending out missionaries of their own, and it's still going on in a great way. Well, when God seemed to be done with him there, and he came back to the States, all of his experience, they thought, well, that's crazy for someone so gifted. Why don't we put him into an administrative position to train and recruit other missionaries? So he became the director of Baptist International Missions Incorporated for many, many years. He did that. And then he got to the place that he thought, well, you know, the Lord's done with me on this. He truly was in the last minutes of the fourth quarter. And normally folks would just sit back and want to literally, you know, just throw it in neutral and enjoy life and, you know, that kind of thing. And God said, no, no, no. I have more for you to do. And he's continuing on. And he wrote this book, The Fourth Quarter, of what God did in his life when other people were throttling back. He put the pedal to the metal and just kept on going. And God has blessed him for that. And so Pastor said, you know, this would be a great thing to give to all of our grandparents. And guess what? I get one this year. Amen. And But we have a lot of dear folks, and so our ushers have those, and we're not going to take time out of the service. It would take a long time to get them out to everyone. So at the close of the service, if you'd be so kind as to pick one of these up, and to make sure we have enough for everyone, I think we have 200, but make sure that we have enough for everyone. Make sure that every household gets one, if you would. And then if we have extras, grandparents can get one individually. But every grandparent household, if you'll make sure and get one of these, this is our gift to you. And then today, Pastor also wanted us to take a few moments and to recognize those who have set a bright example of marriage. There's probably some folks here who walked in with more experience and more wisdom of wedded bliss for 50 plus years of marriage. And so we have a gift for you. Ladies, you could maybe tell your husband, this would be an encouragement. We could go to Bob Evans. Now, I don't want everyone to overwhelm Bob Evans, you know, today. But we'd like to give you a $25 gift card from the church for those who have been married for 50 plus years. Would you stand, please? All those who have enjoyed 50 years of marriage, if you would help us, we have a gift to hand out. Just remain standing. Our folks will get to you. Brother Paul is going to help you. Brother Aaron, if you would. And just remain standing for a few moments. Somehow I wish we could compile the knowledge and the wisdom that these folks represent. And in a day when marriages don't seem to want to last, and we're so grateful for you. And you say it can be done. It can be done by God's grace and His power. When you receive your gift card, if you'd be seated, so we make sure that we make sure and get one to everyone. We have extras. Yes. Okay. All right. In the choir. You know, those of you who don't get one this morning, you know, you get a $50 gift card next Sunday. Okay. All right. We're getting to most of our folks, but some of our folks did not receive one. We deeply apologize. We underestimated God's grace in the lives. All right. Now, if you'd be so kind, folks in the choir and folks in the auditorium, if you'd be so kind as to when you pick up your book, would you give your name to one of the ushers? And say, I'll get my gift card next Sunday, and we'll make sure and have those for you, okay? So thank you so very, very much. We have another one here. Well, good. All right. Good. Wonderful. Well, thank you for being here. Let's give all of our grandparents another big hand, please. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Brother Aaron, if you'd come, please.
I counted about 7 or 8, but there may be a few more that did not get one this morning. And what I'd like to know is, are there any visitors here, 50 years or more you've been married, one of those that just raised your hand or stood up to get one of those gift cards, and you're a visitor or someone that's not normally here at the service? Okay, let me qualify that further. And you did not get one of the gift cards. That's what I'm going for, because I'm... Anybody that's not normally here, you've been married 50 years or longer, but not normally here and didn't get one. I was going to say, because one of our members can go ahead and pass theirs on and we'll replace that. But it looks like we don't need to do that. So come on back next Sunday. Make sure you let the ushers know when you go out there with that book. Maybe write your name down on a slip of paper and say, I didn't get that. We'll make sure next week we've got those and we'll get those to you. We'll make up for that. We're glad that we ran out. It's always good to run out of things. You hate to run out of things, but some things are good to run out of. It's not good to run out of food, okay? It's good to have a big family, but it's not good to run out of food, especially when you have a big family. But it's good to run out of some things, and we're glad to have every single one of those. Wow, what an impressive thing to see that many folks who have been married 50 years or longer. That's incredible. So, got a few announcements. But before we do that, there may be folks here, I believe there are folks here, who are visiting with us. You're our guest this morning. It's the first time you've been to the home place. And we want to know about that. There's something special we want to do for you. If you got one of our bulletins, if you didn't get a bulletin, you can just wave down one of the ushers here in a moment. But in our church bulletin, on the flap on the far right side, open it up. You'll see that small flap that opens up with it. Simply take that little flap, tear it off. It's got two sides, two opportunities to fill something out. On one side is the visitor's form right there. It just says, welcome visitors. It's got some places for information we'd love to have so that we can send you a letter to say thank you and be able to recognize that again, not just this morning, but as the week goes along. Also, what we'd like for you to do with that slip of paper, if you cannot hang around after the service for a little bit, you're in a hurry and you got to get out of here, just drop that in the offering plate. That way we have a record and can take that up that way, but we'd really like for you to give us this personally. As soon as the service is over, right out of those back doors, those four doors right back there that go to our activity building, we call that. There's a little room on the right. We've got some refreshments and some gifts for you back there. We'd like to send you out of here also with a small, not a $25 gift card, but a small gift card. Maybe go somewhere, get a cup of coffee, a little small meal. Some places you can do that. But something to remember us and something as a thank you from our heart to yours. We're glad that you came to the home place. We really do want this to be another home for you. We feel like it is. It's where our family is. And we want you to understand and feel that same way about this place. And we'd love to get to meet you. Let the staff get to meet you. Pastor is not here this morning, and so he would not get that opportunity, though I know he would love to have that opportunity. He is in Richmond, Virginia. He's been there for the last several days at the God Bless America Crusade. They have had wonderful meetings the first two nights. I know they had folks saved on the first night, which was Friday night. And I know they've had folks getting saved as they've passed out. I think they said 70,000 doors they've knocked on to pass out literature and let folks know about the crusade. And when opportunity presented itself to give the gospel to the folks that were at those doors. I know we've got some folks that are up there. Brittany Salagi is one of those. Casey is up there with her now as well. But Brittany's been up there for maybe a week or longer, knocking on doors and a part of that effort to reach out to Richmond. And they have been gathering every night at the Arthur Ashe Center right in Richmond. There's an athletic arena. And they've been saluting first responders. Last night they saluted educators, teachers, so on and so forth. And tonight they're saluting military. It's the final night of the crusade. And they're doing some special things to recognize our armed forces, those that serve. And the keynote speaker for the evening is our pastor. So he's looking forward to that. He speaks every year at that crusade. And he's looking forward to that tonight. Now that begins at 7 o'clock. Okay? That begins at 7. We start at 6 here tonight, okay? They live stream, but if you're from Volusia County Baptist Church, the live stream does not work, okay, unless you've been to church. Okay, there's a little button that you have to click that says, I'm kidding. As a matter of fact, I believe, are we going to try to show that tonight? Okay. If you'll come to the service tonight, I'll try to preach a lot quicker, not speak more quickly. Amen, Miss Sherry, amen. She says amen. Because the folks that sign for the deaf really don't like signing when I preach. They really don't like that. About every fourth sentence, they just throw something in there. Basically, she just preaches her own message and says, whatever he says, I'm going to go on my own here. And I apologize for that yet again. But as soon as the service is over this evening, of course, we'll allow folks, you know, we can fellowship. There's always folks here until we run them out. And Voices of Victory, you will have practice tonight. But those that would like, we're going to throw the God Bless America Crusade up on the big screens and allow you to stick around, watch a little bit of it if you like. Nothing formal, no big deal. We'll just put it up there in case you'd like to hang around and see what's going on there. And maybe hang out long enough to hear Pastor speak or go home and tune in there if you'd like as well. And you can go to, I think it's GodBlessAmericaCrusade.com. If you'll Google GBAC or God Bless America Crusade, you can find that live stream event. Quickly, I know we've had a lot of time here. Some events coming up. Cookout and evening service on September 27th at DeLand Park. You'll want to be there. This is a great family outing, not just your family, but all of our families coming together. That is on September the 27th at DeLand Park. Dinner will be at 5 p.m. and the service at 6 right there in the park. And you'll want to make sure, I think you got to bring camping chairs. I think I'm right about that. Camping chairs. And what is the food? I don't have that written down. That's my fault. What? Hot dogs. Tube steak. Yes. That's what we're having that night. So no need to bring your fried chicken and all those sides. Unless you want to, you can come by my camping chairs and share that with me as well if you like. Senior Family Fellowship, October 2nd. Something coming up, Southwide Baptist Fellowship, okay? Next month, October 12th through 15th, we'll be taking a bus up to North Carolina for the Southwide Baptist Fellowship meeting. If you'd like to go to that, believe it's based on double occupancy. It's $200 to go. That's your room, and that's all the meetings. I don't know. I think breakfast might be in that because of being at the hotel. But I know that if you want to go and money is an issue, see the pastor, and we'll do what we can to make sure you're on that trip. We want folks to be there. The bus is already over half full, so if you want to go, you're going to need to let us know as soon as you can. Teens will be having a bubble soccer activity a week from Saturday. Bubble soccer. We're not playing soccer with bubbles. We're getting in bubbles and playing soccer. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's going to be a ton of fun. Your young people should already know about it. I gave out some of these flyers to them last couple of weeks. But if not, see me about that. I'll get you the rest of that information. But I believe that's all the announcements. I do want to make sure we recognize the ladies from Joy Baptist Church. They stayed over from the ladies' gathering. What a great event that was. I've heard nothing but just abundant good things about how wonderful the ladies' gathering was. And, of course, we appreciate the efforts of everyone that put in the work and the effort. Not just ladies who did that, but Daniel and the crew that worked on that. But, of course, Miss Becky, Miss Eunice, Miss Bev, and all of the helpers that helped Miss Becky. I know that she appreciates their work, but we also appreciate the work Miss Becky put into our ladies' gathering. I think it'd be good if we gave her a hand and all of her workers a hand for thanks for that. But these ladies right down front, go ahead and raise your hand, ladies. These ladies are from Hull, Georgia. Hull, Georgia. It's almost a hole. Now, I know that area well. That's right near Camp Maranatha. Of course, that's where my brother, Adam Reynolds, is now pastoring, has been there for a little over a year now, I guess it has been, something like that. So he and Miss Jessica and the kids have been there. Of course, Jessica's with us. If you didn't know she's here as well, you'll want to make sure you say hello to her this morning. But we sure are glad to have y'all. April and Vaughn also came into town. You'll see April here in a moment. She'll be singing with for us before the message. Glad to have all of our guests. But if you haven't filled out one of those forms, fill it out. Kathy Wyman's birthday was last Tuesday. And I have a bunch of numbers on here. Was that how old you are? It's not? Okay, all right, I won't mention it then. Ken and Debbie Gogan's 30th anniversary, 20 years short of one of the gift cards, but 30th anniversary, so I believe they're both up in the choir. So happy anniversary, Ken and Debbie Gogan. A lot of folks in the hospital list last week got a beautiful thank you card from Naomi Borland. Continue to pray for Miss Naomi as she recovers, but also pray for Brother Steve Jacobs, Miss Anita Boyd, Jim Womack, all been in the hospital this week. A lot of things to remember. If you don't remember them, ask us about them. Get your bulletin, write those things down, and make sure you stay up with what's going on here at the Home Place. Thank you.
Wow. Okay, let's take your handbooks, turn to page 574. Remain seated, choir's going to stand. Let's sing A Child of the King.
My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child.
Receive our offering this morning. Time of worship to give. And so, guys, if you'll come and make ready to give, we sure appreciate the things that you do in regards to giving. And our pastor says it over and over that this church has been a giving church. I've watched that from afar, and now the last 3.5 years I've watched that from up close. And it's a pleasure to give with you. And as much as we appreciate it, it's really not about what we appreciate. It's about what the Lord expects and what He acknowledges. And He loves a cheerful giver. And He remembers that giving right down to the detail. So we're glad to give this morning. Father, as we do offer these things back to You of what's been given to us, we remember that none of it is our own, not even our bodies are our own. We are bought with a price. You've paid a price for us. And Lord, may we not steward those things that You've given in an unrighteous manner. God, may we remember that what we have is a tool for You. It's a resource for the gospel. It's just another thing that can be used to bring hope to this world, to bring light to those that are in darkness. And God, I pray that You'll take these things as they're given this morning, bless those that give them as You've promised. Remind us of your faithfulness in every situation. And God, I pray that You'll bless this church abundantly, not because we merit it in every way. Lord, we want to do everything we can to be ready receptacles of the blessings of God, but because what You do through this place glorifies You, and we want to see God glorified. We want to see Jesus exalted in our community and in these walls. So God, take what's given and accomplish Your will through us in this place and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. never realized Pastor was going to be gone this morning. Of course, Brother Mark and I will figure out who's going to take what place to fill in. We just decided, of course, he's busy this morning because he'll be preaching in a few moments. He's already got his plate full with this. And so, you know, basically we just said, well, whatever Pastor normally does, I'll just do. So I'm going to go off script this morning because that's what he normally does. Okay? I'm doing what we decided. I want us to sing that. I love the song that's on here, and I go ahead and tell you, I don't have the range to lead you in the song I'm about to lead you in, but I'm going to stand up here and lead you. But I want you to stand and sing. But here's what I'd like to do. Can we sing the second verse? And you can just play it pretty normally. We won't try to do the choir arrangement. If we can put those words up there. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, how in the world do you take that in? That on the cross, my burden, your sin, my rebellion and pride, He took on Himself and He died there to take away my sin. Let's sing that second verse and then just join the choir, become the choir on the chorus.
And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bear, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
And all God's people said, and they shouted. That's right. We have a lot of guests. We have a lot of home folks right there around you. And as the choir comes down, the orchestra turn and greet one another. And in a moment, we'll go ahead and sing. It's amazing what praising can do after we're all there. It's in your bulletin. Don't worry about that yet. Just turn and greet one another as the choir and orchestra come down. Join them this time around. Here we go. It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus fills my life with the song, and it's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. Good singing. Choir, good playing, orchestra, and good singing. Extended choir for the day. You may be seated. What a great morning. Pastor missed it. That's all I can say. If you're not going to be here, you just miss it. Brother Mark will be coming to preach for us in a moment. Looking forward to that. And I do know that when you have your mind busy as it is, doing as many things as he does in the morning like this, well, all the time, but especially when you're leading the choir and you're thinking about the next congregational and the recognitions and all that, it can be difficult to get your mind squared back around. And I know that's what he wants this morning. So I challenge you to just take a moment and just offer a sentence to the Lord of prayer for Brother Mark, and then be ready to dial right in to what the Word of God has to say. I'm going to ask my sister, April Anderson, to come, and she's going to sing this morning before Brother Mark comes to preach. My God will always be enough. April, come ahead.
I felt the ache of emptiness. This world could not relieve. My heart has lived in poverty that no one else could see, until I found the sweet restoring stream that changed my life. He called to me, come and drink, and my need was satisfied. My God will always be for the longings of my soul. He alone can fill my cup till my spirit overflows. From a well of living water, He renews me turns of life. I'm sure of this one thing: when the road seems so uncertain, my God will go with me. 'Cause my God will always be enough for the longings of my soul. He alone can fill my cup till my spirit overflows. From a well of living water, He renews me with His love. Always be enough. Oh, from a well of living water, He renews.
Well, thank you so much, April. Marvelous. I tell you, I don't know if you've sensed the Lord's presence here with us. I hope you have. We're here to worship Him. We may as well just fold up shop if we're here to entertain or to tickle ears. But we're here to lift up Jesus Christ. Point people to Him. We're not here to build a great church. We're here to lift up a great Savior. And I'm so glad to be in this kind of a body of believers. If you're not tuned into that frequency, it's a good station. It's a good station to be on. And our church doesn't have a corner on that. The Holy Spirit has a corner on that. And so we sing songs like, "How Great Thou Art." My God will always be enough. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 3. This is Grandparents' Day. The title of the message is, "God Has No Grandchildren." Oddly, on Grandparents' Day, to have a title like that. In 1904, in the country of Wales, they experienced a great awakening, a revival. It didn't happen by accident. They prayed and prayed and asked God to do something great. Started with a small group of people, just a small group. And the prayer meetings grew and grew. And in 1904, God decided to answer those prayers. And there was a shaking of the country of Wales. Souls were saved. Lives were changed. To the point that even the bars were closing up. And they'd make 22 cents in a whole night. There in the bar, and there wouldn't be any sense in keeping it open. The horses didn't understand the commands from those driving because the profanity was no longer there. The crime rate had gone down so much that the police they put on their white gloves and put away their weapons because the crime rate had diminished so much. I mean, it changed everything. It shook the country of Wales. The churches there in Wales began sending out missionaries in droves across the world. And one of those missionaries ended up going to Argentina. And that missionary reached out to a little boy and told the little boy in Argentina about Jesus Christ. And he received Christ as his personal Savior. That little boy's name was Luis Palau. Some of you recognize that name. He was, some have called him the Latin Billy Graham. And God used him in a mighty way. And he had a great desire to show his appreciation. He knew that missionary came from Wales, the church in Wales. And he decided to go back and visit Wales. He did. He traveled in the early 1970s to express his gratefulness to them sending him the gospel through this missionary. What he discovered was astonishing. He found that less than one half of 1% of the country of Wales at that time were still going to church. Crime was terrible in the country. Divorce rate was epidemic proportions. Many churches had closed and been converted to bars. And rugby replaced Christianity as a national religion. You see, somewhere along the line, the ones who were closest to God, the ones who were following the Lord's leadership and wanting the fire of God in their hearts and in their lives and in their churches and their families, it seemed like that somewhere along the line, they did not hand it to the next generation. Somewhere along the line, the next generation thought that they would be okay because Dad was a fired-up Christian. Because Mom had a sincere and sober heart for worshiping God. And somehow they'll be okay. Or maybe it was Grandpa that everyone lifted up and venerated because of his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And somewhere along the line, it ceased to be personal. And we are one generation from the extinction of Christianity in the United States of America.
Amen.
It can happen here. My friend, I have sad news. It is happening here.
Yep.
It is happening here. God has no grandchildren, only children, only sons and daughters. And the marvelous thing about that is sometimes grandparents are distant. And it's a joy to see the grandkids come and visit. It's a joy sometimes to see them leave. But it's a joy. God gives children to young people for a reason. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. It's a joy to have them here with us. Okay? But listen, please. Sometimes we're still distant from our grandchildren. But the parents are right there. I'm thankful that my God, my Heavenly Father, is not distant from me. He's one breath away from me. I'm thankful He is one word, one prayer away from me. He's my Heavenly Father who holds my hand. If you don't know Him that in that relationship, I invite you to meet Him today. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, would you stand with me as we read the Scriptures together? You've been seated for a while. The Bible says, in respect to the reading of God's Word, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath his hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we turn our hearts unto Thee and ask You anew and afresh that You would anoint us. May the Holy Spirit guide, and Lord, we depend upon You so very much. Help us now to worship You in spirit and in truth. Guide us into Your truth, Holy Spirit. The Bible says that You'd do that. So, Lord, we ask that You would. And Lord, I pray that if there's some soul here that does not know You and the pardon and the forgiveness of sin, Lord, may they today trust You as their Savior, in whose precious and wonderful name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so very much. There are people across this country who do not have the joy of a family and the acceptance of loved ones and all of that that goes with it. They would love to have a grandmother or a grandfather to embrace them, but they don't. Perhaps it's because they don't really have time for them. Perhaps it's because they don't know who their grandparents are. I don't know. We live in a day when grandparents are raising a whole lot more of our children today because mom and dads have split and splintered and all that kind of a thing. Family is important. Amen. The acceptance of family. I'd like you to look, please, at verse number 1. The Bible says in chapter 3, 1 John, behold. In other words, would you look at that? Now, when you go to the Grand Canyon, I've seen the Grand Canyon one time. Some of you have seen Mount Rushmore. Some of you may have seen Mount Rushmore. I've never seen Mount Rushmore. If you see Niagara Falls, you know, all these kinds of things, these great wonders, you first see and say, wow, would you look at that? You might as well say, behold. You're saying the same thing. Look at what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. What manner of love? That's not what sort of love. The word here, manner, is the same word that gives the idea of foreign. This is foreign to us. It's foreign to us in America. It's foreign to Asia. It's foreign to Russia. It's foreign to every part of this planet. The kind of love that God has offered to you and to me is so foreign to us. It's unconditional. It's unending. It's the kind of love that only God can offer. I want you to think of this, these two words. If you're jotting down some things to try to go back and get a blessing from God's Word, jot down these two words, would you please? Personal acceptance. Personal acceptance. God offers the kind of love that will accept you just like you are. Today, right now. Now, a lot of us would like to think that if we were to come to God, well, we need to clean up some things. Well, you know, when company comes, Sure, we want to do some cleaning at the house. We want to clean up the bathrooms and run the vacuum cleaner and wash down the baseboards and spray some nice smelly good stuff in the house. We've got company coming. My friend, all of our righteousnesses in the eyes of Almighty God are filthy rags. The best we can offer Him stinks in His nostrils. There's not a thing we can do to prepare ourselves to come to Him and make ourselves presentable to Him. He is holy. We're sinful. So we come to Him, like the song says, just as we are, and He loves us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. The Father. Now, this thought of Father was foreign in the Old Testament. Nowhere in the Old Testament do we find that this thought of God being our Father. That was introduced by Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. He's the one who taught the disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In the Old Testament, they were acquainted with Jehovah. They were acquainted with El Elyon. They were acquainted with El Shaddai. They were acquainted with Adonai. They're acquainted with the different names for God, describing His attributes and describing who He is and all this kind of thing, that they drew some idea of who the God was that they worshiped. But Father? No, that was different. Behold, what manner of love that Jehovah God, the great and mighty King, the covenant-keeping God, that He would want to be my Father. Some of you grew up without an earthly father. Some of you grew up without a loving earthly father. My friend, He is a Father to the fatherless. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. In our personal acceptance, we have a Father's love. In personal acceptance, we have a family's welcome. A family's welcome. You know, my children, when they went off to college, one of the things that they missed was Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Too far away to come home for Thanksgiving. It just seemed like it'd take for granted that Thanksgiving was a time that family all gets together and family sits down and family thanks God for His goodness to the family, and we love on each other and we rejoice and we fellowship, you know. And Thanksgiving seems so lonely and so empty. You realize that a lot of people, maybe some in our midst here this morning, that's the way their life is every day. Every day. But my friend, through our loving Heavenly Father, through His love, He welcomes us into a great big family. And the family accepts us as we are. I would pray that if I took off this coat, if I took off this tie, unbuttoned my shirt, that You would love me just the same. You know, I simply want to be my very best because I represent my Savior, Jesus Christ. I stand here representing someone greater than the President of the United States, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I want to be my very best for Him. But my friend, value and significance is not measured by what we wear or what we drive or where we live. Value and significance is measured by whose we are. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that we have a Father's love, and I'm thankful that we have a family's welcome. You know, there are three ways to enter a family. Three ways to get into a family. Okay? First is kind of obvious. That's by birth. We call the life principle. By birth. There's another way to get into a family. And that's by adoption. I call that the law principle. The law principle. You see, by adoption, the papers are all legally filled out, and everything is set in motion and set in place, that everything, all the benefits and everything that comes with that family is then imparted to the one who has been adopted into the family. They have been legally placed into the family. The law principle.
And then there's another way to get into a family. And that's by marriage. You can, by the way, did you know that when you marry someone, you marry their family? If you didn't know that, young people, make sure you meet the family before you decide to give that lady a ring, okay? You're not just marrying her. You're marrying everything, everybody that comes with her. Amen. And that's usually a wonderful blessing. What? We all have wonderful blessings in our own families, don't we? We all do. We all do. But you become part of that family through marriage. Hear me, please. To make sure that God confirms our position and our place in the family, He tied it three ways. Because according to John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5 and so on and so forth, Jesus told Nicodemus, if you're going to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born into the family. And not only that, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, whereby receive the spirit of adoption, so we can cry unto our heavenly Father, Abba Father, the closeness of like you might say, Papa, the child to a father, that He adopted us. He legally said, I choose you and I want you in my family and I place you and you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He is my brother. He is my Savior. So not just by birth and not just by adoption, but also by marriage. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to one another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. My friend, the believers make up the body of Christ. And we are going to be one day, we're going to be the bride of Christ, be united with the bridegroom, and then reparted again by marriage. We're part of the family all three ways. A personal acceptance. Personal acceptance. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. If you wrote down the first two words, a personal acceptance, write down the second. A promised appearance. Look at verse 2. A promised appearance. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Look back at the beginning of the verse. The Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we saved. Now are we in the family. Right this moment, we are redeemed right now. A lot of people try to think maybe they're being humble about it or whatever. And sometimes we can be, as Christians, we can be kind of cocky about it. Shame on us. Anything that we have in Jesus Christ is because of His grace. We don't deserve to go to heaven. Every once in a while, we'll get things all turned around in our mind and think that we're something pretty special. The only thing special about us is Jesus Christ in us. My friend, as part of the family, we are the sons of God right now. You're as good as in heaven right now as you will ever be. You're a child of the King. We sang about it. Do you remember when the Lord called Moses there to the burning bush? And the Lord answered his question when he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am that I am. I am that I am. I am the present God. I am the God of today, of right now. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not what God will do. It's what He is doing. He is in today. He is relevant. He is concerned about what's going on in your life today, right now, like a father would be. When I talk with my children, I'm asking them, how are things going? I know of certain things going on in their life at the time, and I'll try to get the conversation rolling and ask some probing questions because I care. I want to know what I can do. I want to help. I want to be a blessing in their life. My Heavenly Father doesn't have to ask probing questions. He knows. He's right here with me, right here today. If I'll listen to him, he's saying things like, don't say this, skip that, you know, go on to something else, you know, all that kind of stuff. He's leading and he's guiding, and he doesn't just do that for preachers. He did that for me when I was 16 years old, working at a grocery store. Yeah. Folks, he's our Father. We are redeemed right now. The Bible says it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Look at verse 2 again. The Bible says, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. I circled the word shall. But we know that when he shall appear, I circled the word shall, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's not any maybes in there. There's no ifs in there. There's nothing that predicates what God is going to do. God is in the driver's seat of our salvation. And we're not going to have to jump at the rapture. I know there's a lot of people, you know, that do some crazy things in church. I think some of what goes on in concerts makes its way sometimes into the church house. I don't know. But a lot of folks do some funny things, you know, when we exercise, trying to, you know, used to be just jumping jacks and things. I'm not going to demonstrate. It'd be scary. But when the trumpet sounds, we don't have to jump. He's going to take care of that. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll be raptured soon. We'll be raptured soon. My friend, as I see everything coming into place and all the things getting into position, I think, how much longer can it be, Lord? When I see our nation as a whole, from the leadership down, by the way, you trace it back, you'll find when the leadership of Israel, now there was sin going on in the nation of Israel, but when the leadership of Israel, they took the helm of the nation from the top and turned it away from God, that's when God's judgment fell. Now, God deals individually with individual sin, and God deals nationally with national sin. My friend, I'm just thankful that when it's all said and done, no matter what God allows to happen in our country, when it's all said and done, I'm still on his side. I'm still on his side. And we deserve anything that happens. I'm not a doom and gloom prophet, and I'm not inviting. I don't want to see destruction. I don't want to see pain and suffering. I don't want to see terrorism reign. I don't want to see any of those kinds of things. I want to see injustice stopped and crime and murder stopped. But if God in his sovereignty wants to teach America a lesson, he is fully able and capable of doing so. Before the great judgment falls, though, God's people are being called out. We shall be. We shall be like him. When he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. Douglas MacArthur is known for a phrase. He was ordered by the President of the United States out of the Philippines during the Second World War. He was ordered to Australia. They were to regroup and gather their plan on attacking Japan and defending America and all that was going on. And he did not want to leave the Philippines. He had fought for those people in the name of the United States of America, and they knew that the United States was protecting them and all of this. Great fear fell upon them when they heard the words that he would be leaving. As he left, he gave a speech and he said, I shall return. And it wasn't too much longer. He came back and he had these three words, I have returned. My friend, Jesus Christ is returning to this world. And the first time, it's just in the air. It's a pickup. It's a pickup of getting His children out of harm's way. And then the judgment of God that's been stored up through all the ages may be poured upon this world in such a terrible way that God would not want His redeemed in that. We have just one more thought, and then we'll be closing. A personal acceptance, we have a heavenly Father's love. We have a family's welcome. A promised appearance, we are redeemed. We are redeemed right now. Right now are we the sons of God. And we will be raptured soon. Okay? As a result of that, what do we do? Someone said as we were learning to preach and learning some skills of some things of what to do and what not to do, they said this. They said, when you get to a certain point in your message, people should ask the question, so what? So what? They should ask the question, so what am I supposed to do about it? This is the truth you've given me? Oh, we have a wonderful Heavenly Father. We have a welcoming family. We have acceptance. We're going to be changed and given a new body. We're going to be like our Savior Jesus Christ. My friend, here's what we need to do about it. Look at verse number 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. A hope. This is not something, well, I hope this happens. No, this is a joyful expectation. We have a joyful expectation. Write down these two words. A purifying appointment. Purifying appointment. This appointment that we have comes through one of two things. Either it comes through our own personal death, or it comes through the Lord Jesus' rapture. As a believer in Jesus Christ, not as a member of this church, not as a baptized person, but as a person who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus, repented of their sin, and asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and be their Savior, that person has the Holy Spirit indwelt within them. When Jesus comes back, that believer is being raptured out of this world. You say, well, I don't believe that can happen. Just ask somebody named Enoch about that. Well, that was a strange case. Well, ask someone named Elijah about that. Okay? It's already happened twice. God has already given plenty of example of what He's going to do and how He's going to do it. He's fully able to just rapture us out. I don't know how to verify this. I heard preachers say it, and they said it with confidence, and they seemed like that it was something that was pretty well set. Back in the 80s, airlines, they said, were very, they believed more in the rapture than other people did. Some airlines wouldn't let two Christians fly an airliner together. I don't know if that's completely true or not. I don't know who made that decision. You know, a person saved or lost or what? I don't know. But it makes pretty good sense, I guess. If somebody's going to stay, why would they want to stay? Read the book of Revelation, and you'll be frightened for those who would be here more than the worst terrible story or catastrophe film that can be made today. We have a joyful expectation coming. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. We have a joyful expectation coming. Last, we have a just evaluation coming. Justice. We have a just evaluation coming. The Bible says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, sin is not mentioned in there. You say, well, it says bad. Yeah, look it up. You'll find the word has the thought of worthless. worthless. Let me ask you something. What have you ever wasted or had someone waste some of your time? You know, you never get that time back. And that time was worthless. That time was gone. You can't get that time back ever again. One day we're going to give an account for the talent that God has given us. It came from Him. One day we're going to give an account for the time and the health that God has given to us. We squander so much in our life. I squander so much that God has given to me. I waste it on pleasure or entertainment or something that seems to be good at the time, but it was not the best thing I could be doing with my life. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This earnest expectation, this wonderful blessed hope of seeing our Savior face to face, it's not going to start out all that great, I'll be honest with you. I'm seeing the one who doesn't depend on a body cam. Oh, you know, the police. You know, there are some that don't really want this camera, this video camera, everywhere they go, recording everything that they say and everything that they do and all that kind of thing. A lot of that is for their protection and all of that. But also it never blinks. It's always on. And it's terrible to live in such a day that with the attacks against our police, that can be sometimes the only evidence to try to get the criminal who has attacked our police. And my friend, God's eye never blinks. Amen. He sees everything we do, every place we go, hears everything that we say, and one day we're going to stand before Him. Now, our sin is going to be covered all plenty at the cross. But our service for God is what will be evaluated and examined. There'll be a lot of us preachers that the angels will, when someone else comes and is making their way up, the angels say, oh, excuse me, Mark, back out of the way, back out of the way. And I see this little lady making her way up, being called by the Savior. And He honors her in ways that we are amazed, because He saw everything she did, heard everything that she said, every sacrifice that she made, and He reckoned it up in the books. And one day that service will be rewarded. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Holy is He, the choir sings at times. Our God is holy. There was a young lawyer. His name is Charles. He had just finished his bar exam, 4 years of training, all of that. This was many years ago. An evangelist met with him and they were talking. And as they were sitting there at the table and sipping some coffee, he asked this young man, this young lawyer, hadn't even tried his first case yet. He said, well, you got big plans. He said, yes, yes. He said, well, what are you going to do next? He said, well, I plan to get into a law firm. He said, well, that's great. Great. What next? Well, I plan to practice law for, I don't know, probably 35, 40 years. He said, well, that's great. What next? He said, well, I plan on retiring. I should have plenty laid aside and can retire and enjoy my family and spend good time with them. He said, well, good, good. What next? He said, well, I guess then I'll die. He said, what next? The man thought for a moment. He said, I guess the judgment. That thought hit Charles. He had enough discernment of God in his life that it hit him as a lawyer that one day he would stand before the judge. I mean, he was familiar with judges and their authority and their power. He decided he would go into the woods. He went into the woods and decided he would not come back out until he knew that he was doing what God wanted him to do. He stayed in the woods for a day and a half. When he emerged from the woods, he said, God does not want me to be a lawyer. He struggled with this. He had paid so much money and so much personal sacrifice to reach this goal in his life. He said, God wants me to preach the gospel. Charles's name was Charles G. Finney. A great revivalist, a great preacher that preached for 50 years of the grace of God. And God used him. He would walk into a factory, a manufacturing plant. He would walk in, and the stories would go that as he would walk in, that the Holy Spirit was so heavily, strongly upon him that people would get under conviction just when he walked in the door. God used him in such a mighty way because he recognized that he would stand before the judge, and he wanted to do what the judge wanted him to do. What manner of love that God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Would you bow your heads with me, please, in prayer? No one looking. Please listen. Listen to God speaking in your heart. If you died right now where you sit, or if the last thing you heard was the blast of a loud trumpet and you remained seated when the majority of this room was emptied out, and you came face to face with the fact that you're lost, that would be a terrible, terrible thought. It could be that God is speaking to your heart right now and knocking on your heart's door and saying, I want to be your Father. I want to accept you just as you are. I want to give you eternal life. Come to me through Jesus, my only Son. He'll save you. He loves you. What manner of love? We're going to give an invitation in just a moment. We're going to invite you to come down here to the front. We will privately take the Bible and show you how to be saved. For the most of us here, most of us are Christians, pointing back to a time in our life that we repented of our sin and asked Jesus to save us. I ask you to examine your life because our life will be examined. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. There's many of us that need to bow the knee and say, God, forgive me for my apathy. Lord, forgive me for my spiritual laziness. Forgive me for not treating your word like your love letter to me. Forgive me for my lack of prayer. Forgive me for my weakness and temptation. Forgive me for my silence and my witness. Forgive me for not seeking your direction daily in my life. Why not examine your own life and correct some things in our own life before we meet him face to face? It could be soon. It could be soon. We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to sing an invitation song in just a moment. The best time to obey the Lord is right now when God speaks. If you're a child of God, you should hear his voice. And if you hear his voice, you ought to obey his voice. There's some that are going to be baptized today obediently, doing what God tells them to do as a Christian after they're saved. There are some that God's calling to be a part of this church to serve here. If God calls you to do that, you come. If God wants to do business in your heart, you come. You bow the knee and you examine your life before he does. Heavenly Father, please bless your precious word. Thank you for what you've done in my life, my heart, convicting me. Lord, mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. May you do business in our hearts and may we make great spiritual decisions in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Everyone standing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. They're going to play that song. And as they play, won't you come and respond to God's voice? Search me, O God, and know my heart. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right today, at this moment. If you're a Christian, living just a floating life, floating with the current of the world, why not bow the knee and say, "Here I am, Lord. I want you to fire my heart up. I want to serve you. I want Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life." God has spoken to your heart. Will you answer His call? Will you answer Him today? If you know the words, would you sing the first verse with me?
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. This is Ruth Austin. Ruth has trusted Christ as your Savior. Is that correct? When did you get saved?
When I was 7 at Vacation Bible School here.
Amen. When she was 7 years old at Vacation Bible School right here. And I thank God for that ministry. I don't know if you help in VBS, serve cookies and help in a class or whatever the case, but it's worth it. Amen?
Yeah.
It's worth it. And Ruth, so your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and Him alone to save you. Is that right? And do you want to follow the Lord in obedience now and be baptized? Amen. This is something that Ruth wanted to do. She came to her mother and she said, "I'd like to be baptized." And that's a marvelous, marvelous step of obedience. The first step of obedience, may I add. And so we rejoice with you. And let's sing to her, "Welcome to the family."
Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to the family of God.
Miss Kathy, would you go with her and let's see, Miss Barbara or someone, if y'all would assist her and help, and that would be a marvelous blessing. And we have some folks coming in from Junior Church. Ruth serves in the Junior Church on Sunday mornings and helps in there. And some of the kids wanted to come in and see one of their leaders be obedient to the Lord in believer's baptism. And Brother Aaron, if you would, please, I want you to tell the folks, there a lot of us know about the Search of Scriptures, but give us some update and testimony of about Search of Scriptures, and I'll be baptized in just a moment.
Well, if you don't know about Search of Scriptures, it is our monthly opportunity for you to get involved in the study of God's Word. I thought I had my... I have my sheet in here somewhere because I keep it in my Bible. I keep the, what do we call it? Yeah, there it is. That's the standard edition. Then we have the senior edition that's got the large print. That's what we used to call it. We haven't called it that much anymore. The whole idea is to invest yourself daily in the study of God's Word in one consumable passage of Scripture. It started out as being basically one book of the New Testament, one of the shorter epistles like Colossians, Philippians, Titus, one of those epistles that you can get through in just a few minutes and read that every single day. Something I was challenged to do as a younger man and did that. Didn't do it for a long period of time. I did it for a little while. Then after I became a youth pastor, challenged a youth group to sort of maybe find a new way to study their Bibles, to get involved in pursuing the Scriptures for themselves. Because one of the things we tend to do, we like to tell folks to study their Bibles, and then we don't give them a way to study their Bible. Or we say, hey, here's a book where somebody else studied the Bible, and you can read what they studied. Nothing against those. That's wonderful things to do. But to get in for ourselves and let the Holy Spirit teach us that witness that's inside of us as we dig into God's Word. This month, we're in Acts 6 and 7. It's the life of Stephen. Really, it's not the life of Stephen. It's just the testimony of Stephen as a servant of God and ending, eventually being the first martyr among the church there in Jerusalem. So it's a great way to get involved in meditation, in processing God's Word for yourself and letting the Holy Spirit teach you. And then we get together at the end of the month and we talk about what we learned. So I want you to be involved in that. Acts 6 and 7, it's about 10 minutes worth of reading. That's about what we stick with every month. Answer the questions that are in this little guide. Do the best you can. Nobody grades it. And you never know. You might just teach us something when you show up. And you might learn something when you show up at the end of the month to share what God's learned. Are they up there? They're ready to go?
Almost
ready to go. Want to remind you of our announcements then. We have, of course, 6 o'clock tonight as soon as the service is over. Voices of Victory, very important practice. Be here for that. And we'll be showing the God Bless America Crusade up on the screen September 27th. That's the cookout and service in the park up in DeLand. So be prepared. Be ready for that. We want to have a good time. We want to have a good crowd out there. What a great testimony it would be to have just a whole slew of folks out there in the park at DeLand. We'd want to make sure you're there. Bubble soccer for the teens. Get information from me if you need it. If you don't, make sure you get that email address and get that waiver turned in. Thank you.
Amen. Well, this is such a joy. Ruth, upon your profession of faith in Christ Jesus, I now baptize thee, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and hold your nose. Mouth over your nose. Bear with him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was about that age when I got baptized, and it seemed like my Christian life really took off for the Lord Jesus Christ after I was obedient to the Lord in that. So, Ruth, God bless you. We're proud of you. Thank you so very much for setting that a good example for these young people. Let's stand, please. Next Sunday after the service, we'll have a special meeting for those who would like to play handbells. Next Sunday morning after church, be thinking about that. We'll say more about it on next Sunday, and we'll have that meeting after church. See you this evening. God bless you, and you're dismissed. Yes, sir?
Visitors.
We need to meet with the visitors, please, right through the back doors. And if you'd be so kind to stop there for a moment, Brother Aaron will meet with you right now. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we'd like to thank you so very much for tuning in with us. I hope this has been a wonderful time as we look into the precious Word of God. And as you've seen this young lady follow the Lord in believer's baptism, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you bow your head and invite Him into your life, repenting of your sins and claiming Him as your Savior? If you have been saved and you've not been baptized, I invite you, come join us. Perhaps you could make a way to come visit with us and make a one-time appearance, and we could baptize you biblically the way the Bible says. We'd love to have you a part of our church in any way possible. Thank you for your prayers. I do encourage you to watch tonight and then after the service, the God Bless America Crusade. Pastor Reynolds is preaching, and the services have been marvelous, and God's been blessing. The Spirit of God's been saving souls, so make sure and try to
tune into that as well. GodBlessAmericaCrusade.com and look at that if you will. Well, until next Sunday, until tonight, may God's blessing be upon you. Thank you so much for sharing this ministry with us.